Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Savior, Jesus Christ, the Lord of the Church. Amen. The word of God for our message is the epistle lesson, 1 Timothy chapter 4. Dear friends in Christ, St. Paul says something that I think is quite significant in his instructions to Timothy, and I think they're important for you and for me as well. He's already told Timothy to devote himself to preaching and to teaching. He tells Timothy not to neglect the gift that is in him, and then he urges diligence, and then he says this in verse 16 of the text, "Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine that you've been taught." Now, that word heed is important because the word heed means to concentrate on something. Rivet your minds on it. Give it all your energy. It's a strong word. It's a powerful word. It's a word that reaches out, grabs hold of you and me. It's a word that grips us. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine that you've been taught. Now, seminary education is largely about paying attention to the doctrine that we've been taught. The Word of God calls us to do this, and it's very, very important, as you all know, that we do just this. Contrary to what maybe you heard some places, the biblical languages are very important. The confessions are very important. Justification and sanctification are critically important, and we've got to pay attention to the doctrine that we've learned and been taught. But the Word of God also calls you and me to give the same kind of attention to your person. Folks, you are called by God to be the incarnation of what you preach and teach, the pattern and the print of what you preach, who you are, how you live your life in the parish ministry, how you live your life here, how I live my life matters to our God. You see, I think there is a great seduction inherent in the work of ministry. It's a very subtle seduction, and many people do not see it. And many people are therefore seduced away from their first love. And the seduction is this, that the work of ministry oftentimes allures us away from love and obedience to Jesus Christ. And we end up in service to the ministry rather than to the master. We end up seeing to the success of the ministry or to the enterprise or to the organization or to the church rather than standing true and faithful to Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Many times someone enters the ministry called by God, gifted by God with a God-given vision for that particular ministry, but then something happens. Somewhere down the road when the vision has grown, the demands are great, the pressure is on. The temptation is that the pastor becomes obedient to the ministry rather than to Jesus. Decisions are based on what will succeed or what will bring success to the ministry or further growth because the ministry cannot be allowed to die no matter what. And my fear is this, it's then that the life of Christ and the pastor begins to die because the worker is no longer a servant then of the master but of the ministry. It's a good ministry. It's a work to which God has called him. It's a ministry that's borne fruit. But brothers and sisters, I would urge you to beware of anything that competes with love and obedience to Jesus Christ. And oftentimes, the greatest competitor for Jesus is service for Jesus. When the ministry seems to neglect you, or seems to call you to neglect your marriage and home, when the ministry seems to call you to neglect solitude and personal study of the Word of God, when the ministry seems to call you to neglect your personal prayer life, then you've traded masters. When the demands of ministry shape your character into something other than the reflection of the character of Jesus Christ, then you've traded masters. You see, the master of ministry will push you unrelentingly till you drop. Because the master of ministry is not concerned about your character and doesn't really care if you're an incarnation of what you preach and teach or whether you delight the Father. The master of ministry only cares that this happens. It's got to succeed. You've got to do it, and you've got to grow. Paul says, take heed to yourself, lest you be seduced. There's another form that this seduction takes. As you get involved with caring for others and caught up in their lives, their dramas, you become keenly aware of their pressing needs, oftentimes their critical needs. But you can be easily seduced into thinking that you are a shepherd alone and forget that you're also a sheep. And if you forget that you're a sheep, you're going to get twisted up by ministry on getting others to move, others to grow, and failing to seek out the good shepherd and the green pastures and the still waters that he has for you. Folks, care for God's people long enough, and I guarantee you, you will have plenty of experiences to help you understand why it is that God calls his people sheep. You'll watch his people do absolutely stupid things. You'll watch them follow other sheep into ravines, wander off from the flock, and get devoured. And at times you'll hear yourself mutter underneath your breath, just a bunch of dumb, stupid sheep. And you'll get frustrated and angry and proud, as if somehow you alone are the shepherd over all these stupid sheep. Has God called pastors to shepherd his people? Of course he has. But do not forget that long before he called you to be a shepherd, he called you first and foremost to be his lamb. A silly, stupid lamb who does stupid things, who follows other sheep into ravines, and if he wanders from the flock, you'll get devoured. You're a lamb, and so am I. And the shepherd calls us in baptism to stay close to him, to the good shepherd, because that's the best way to lead. It's the best way to lead when you're always in your speech and in your ministry and your behavior pointing people to the good shepherd of the sheep. Your value as a shepherd depends on your life as a lamb, a weak and dependent and foolish lamb, utterly dependent on the good shepherd for life and for the forgiveness of sins. How will such a lamb know anything about shepherding if he doesn't stay close to the good shepherd? You see, when the work of shepherding leads you to pride or to superiority, you've forgotten that you're a lamb. And a shepherd that is not first a lamb, humble and gracious to other sheep, is a dangerous shepherd because he ceased to follow the good shepherd. Your primary identity in life, if you are of to be eternal value to our Father in the ministry, is not that just of a shepherd, but also that of a lamb. Take heed to yourself, lest you be seduced. You see, the God who called you to himself to serve came in the flesh to serve as well. He knows what ministry is like. He understands its seductions, its lures, its pulls. This God who came in the flesh has ministered before you and me, and he lived utterly devoted to his Father, his Master. He lived as a lamb who followed the shepherd and walked in this world. He's already done what he's called us to do. He's gone before you and me in the work of ministry. Remember the story of the great crowd of people and the great need that they had? 5,000 of them. And Jesus fed them all. 12 baskets left over. I think all of us would call that pretty successful ministry. People did. They deemed him the prophet and wanted to make him king. Now, Jesus is king. And ultimately, he will be established as king forever eventually. So what the people said they wanted is what God ultimately wants. And how easy at that juncture it is to be fooled and let the ministry dictate. The people seemed ready. They seemed to want what God wants. But what was Jesus' response? He withdrew by himself to a mountain to pray. To pray! It would appear he lost his opportunity. Why in the world would our Lord do that? Because he served his master more than the ministry. His choices were not dictated by opportunity or need or even the goodness of the goal. Just because something is good does not mean it ought to be done. And so when the day comes and the people you serve push you to a goal that appears to be God-honoring, remember Jesus. He's your master, not the ministry. The goal must be his. The way the goal is achieved must be his. The timing must be his. And you must be wholly his. Don't be owned by the goals of ministry, no matter how lofty they are owned, bought, redeemed by the Master alone. Jesus calls himself the Good Shepherd. I'm the Good Shepherd. I lay down my life for the sheep, and those who would follow me or lead my sheep must follow me. God's word says, you who desire to be overseers desire a good thing, but look carefully at the one that you follow. Because when you look at his entrance into ministry, you find his entrance heralded not with, behold the shepherd, but with, behold the Lamb of God. This is a shepherd who becomes one of us, who is first like his sheep. And he leads and he pastors by demonstrating for all of us how to be a lamb, obedient to the Father. His leadership as a lamb led him to suffering, to darkness, and even death on a cross for my sins and for yours. This was a lamb forsaken by his shepherd. Hardly glamorous results for a ministry. In fact, he sometimes looks like a stupid sheep. Because sheep that follow their shepherd are supposed to be protected. This lamb, this sheep, was submissive even unto death. If the great shepherd became a lamb in order to care for the sheep of God, then you and I must never forget that's who we are. We are first and foremost lambs. And any shepherd who forgets that he is a lamb in need daily of the forgiveness of sins, daily and constant care of the good shepherd, is a very dangerous under-shepherd indeed. But good shepherds also sometimes look like stupid sheep when they follow the great shepherd. When I served in the parish ministry, I was told by a member of the congregation where I served, I preached on picking up your cross and following Jesus. He came to me afterwards and said, you can't possibly believe that. How stupid to think we're really today to pick up our cross and follow Jesus. You've got to be kidding me. And I was reminded that following Jesus may sometimes lead you to places of suffering and darkness and death. Do not let people lead you to think that following God always looks glamorous or successful. Look at what God's hand did to the Lamb of God. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, to pay the price for your sins and mine, even the sins of silly and at times foolish under-shepherds like me and like you. You see, there's absolutely nothing that Jesus asks of us that he's not first accomplished already in his own body. He calls us to walk in the truth. He is the truth. He calls us to love one another, and he has loved us even unto death. He calls us to carry the burdens of others, and he was broken by ours. He calls us to enter the muck and the mire of others' lives, and he entered the muck and mire of your life and my life. And folks, no matter where you go, no matter where you serve in the States, in the world, whether you're a professor that's retiring or a brand new guy going out in ministry, the Good Shepherd's promises to you are true and they last forever. Nothing in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God which is ours in Christ Jesus the Lord. Take heed to yourselves, but the good news is Jesus has already taken heed unto you. God grant that for Jesus' sake. Amen. And now may the peace of Christ, which goes beyond all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through faith unto life eternal. Amen.